I really appreciate you hosting this this live and letting us get the
Oh,
message
definitely.
out to more people, particularly to the UK, because as the team has said, we have the petition in the UK that we have a rather urgent deadline and a rather large quota of signatures that we need in order for that petition to be effective. So we're putting a great priority on the UK petition. So I hope that a lot of the audience out there right now is in the United Kingdom so that they can go and sign that petition and we can make it useful, inshallah. And as Sister said, once we get 10,000 signatures, then we will get a response from the government. They will acknowledge the petition. But if we have 100,000 signatures, inshallah, then we can actually, it will be brought up in the parliament, which in and of itself would be a historic achievement. To have it actually discussed in the Parliament of the United Kingdom to invoke Article 6 to have the United States expelled from the United Nations in and of itself would be a historic achievement. At the same time, as they said, we're also focusing on the global petition that we have on change.org. We have a strategy moving forward once we get sufficient signatures on the global petition to where we'll be able to. The global petition is important. In terms of being able to have the issue raised at the United Nations by a member state from the Global South. For example, we have some good connections with political parties in South Africa. We have some potential connections with political parties in Nigeria and potentially engaging with the African Union as well as potentially engaging with an organization of states called the Friends of the UN Charter. That we can approach about raising the issue of Article 6, because it does have to be raised at the United Nations by a member state. But the UK obviously is a very, very important country for us to sway and for us to have some pressure on the political establishment in the United Kingdom for the obvious reason that they're on the Security Council and they would be one of the states that would be more likely to side with the United States and potentially veto Article 6 if it was brought up at the Security Council. So we need to show the UK political establishment that there is inside of the UK support for the invocation of Article 6. And I just wanted to say something about the United Nations Charter. I heard Sister Samira talking about, and I think that Brother AJ was talking, I missed that part, was talking about what the UN Charter stands for, what the principles of the UN Charter are. And Sister Haya was talking about how the United Nations, there's nothing wrong with the institution. The institution is a good institution, but it hasn't been allowed to operate or to function properly. It hasn't been allowed to function or operate according to its own charter. And it has been prevented from doing so by the United States. So we don't have a problem with the United Nations. We don't have a problem with the UN Charter. We don't have a problem with the principles of the UN Charter. Quite the opposite. On the contrary, we believe in the UN Charter. We believe in the principles of the UN Charter. And that's precisely why we're calling for the invocation of Article 6, which is in the UN Charter. That, as everyone probably by now hopefully should know, Article 6 is to be invoked against a member state which persistently violates the principles of the UN Charter. And we don't find, when we if we review the record of the United Nations, we can't find any member state that has so persistently violated the principles of the UN Charter as the United States. The United Nations Charter is a contract between the governments of the world and the people of the world. And that means that the will of the people of the world is supposed to be represented by the United Nations, by the policy of the United Nations, by the actions of the United Nations, is supposed to reflect the will and the aspirations and the values of the global consensus of all of us. And all of our voices are being silenced on a regular basis, as we know, as we just saw with the vote on membership for Palestine in the United Nations, as we just saw, the overwhelming majority of nations in the world support the admission of Palestine into the United Nations as a full member, which also signals, of course, that the global consensus is that the overwhelming majority of nations in the world believe that Palestine deserves statehood They deserve to have a state. They deserve to be acknowledged as a nation. And as we also saw in every single vote that there was on a ceasefire, the overwhelming majority of people in the world, the overwhelming majority of nations in the world, of countries in the world, of governments in the world, want a ceasefire and acknowledge that this is a genocide that needs to be stopped. And all of those voices, that's not just the voices of people in the United Nations, that's the voices of all of us. That's all of us. All of our voices are being vetoed. The United States is able to hit the mute button on all of the voices of all of the people in the world. When we are campaigning for the invocation of Article 6, this is for everyone. This is for us. This is the people of the world demanding that the terms of the contract that is represented by the UN Charter, that should be actualized, that it should be acted upon, and that the nations of the world should uphold the terms of that contract that's between them and us. And the main force, the primary violator that is preventing that charter from actually being acted upon, and that is preventing the United Nations from functioning properly, as I've said, is the United States. So it's in everyone's interest, whether your issue is Gaza, or your issue is Palestinian statehood, or your issue is anything else. The fact of the matter is that for 75 years, the United States has been able to act with impunity, and it has been able to use the United Nations simply as a control mechanism for all of the countries in the world to ensure that its own policy, that American policy, can be the guiding policy for the rest of the planet, and it can overrule the global consensus. If you're not okay with that, if you actually believe that the world should operate according to consensus and actually do value the principles in the UN Charter I think anyone would, then you should sign the petition. When you brought up the student protests, they're protesting for their universities to divest from Israel, which is just a policy of choice that the universities can do or can't do as they like. It's up to them. There's no law about it. And the students are asking for them to change their policy. Okay, now imagine that it was illegal for them to be invested with Israel, for them to have any shared investments or affiliation with Israel. Imagine if it was illegal and the students were just asking for the law to be enforced. How much stronger their protest movement would be if they knew that they had the law on their side. And the same goes for boycotts and so forth. Every other type of protest movement, every other type of activist activity doesn't have the law on its side, except in terms of it being legal for them to protest. But what we're talking about is actually calling for the implementation of the law. The law is absolutely on our side. The thing that we're asking for is for the United Nations Charter to actually be acted upon, to be implemented. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for something that's either against the law or that is neutral. We're asking for the terms of the United Nations, what you can call the contract, as I said, the contract between the United Nations and the populations of the world. We're asking for that to be implemented. So we have the law on our side. So not only are we asking for something that's concrete and that will have very practical and immediate results, once it is accomplished, it will have dramatic results on the entire international order. Not to mention, it will have direct impact on the Palestinian situation and the entire conflict between Palestine and the Zionists. So it's a concrete demand. It's a concrete step. It will have a practical impact, and it's the law. So we're not asking for something other than implementation of international law, which is represented by the United Nations Charter. This is absolutely the strongest position that you can take. And anyone who is protesting or marching or demonstrating for Palestine should be calling for the invocation of Article 6, because every other demand that you might make, or every other chant or slogan that you might make at a protest or a march or a demonstration, stop the genocide, free Palestine, from the river to the sea, whatever you might say, all of these are vague and abstract, and they don't call for practical steps to be taken that can actually resolve the problem. Invocation of Article 6 is a practical step. It's a concrete step, and it is just the implementation of the actual law. I know, mashallah, there's a lot of very active people in the UK who participate in demonstrations and marches and so on, and protests. You should be calling for invocation of Article 6, and please spread this message, because this is absolutely the most practical step that you can take to help to resolve a situation in Palestine that should have been resolved decades ago and would have been resolved decades ago if it weren't for the fact that the United States is in the United Nations and controlling the United Nations and preventing the United Nations from enforcing and protecting and preserving and upholding its own principles. If that weren't the case, and if it weren't the case of the United States being on the United Nations Security Council with the veto power, if this were not the case, then the situation in Palestine would have been resolved decades ago. And I'm afraid that if we don't get this accomplished, it's not going to be resolved for who knows how many more decades. The law is on our side. And by our, I mean us, the people, the populations of the world. There's a contract between the United Nations and the populations of the world that's supposed to be guaranteeing us, not any government, not the powerful, not the elite, not the rulers, but us. It's supposed to be guaranteeing us peace and security. It's supposed to be guaranteeing us human rights and equality. It's supposed to be guaranteeing us the rule of law on the planet. It's supposed to be guaranteeing us that things operate internationally according to a global consensus which represents our will and aspirations. So we're calling for that contract to be fulfilled. And the only reason that it hasn't been fulfilled is because of this particular member who is the most persistent violator, which is the United States. So fortunately, alhamdulillah, it is included in the charter that there is a mechanism, there is a means, there is an option for resolving this problem. They had it included in there, and America signed that contract. They wrote the contract, but they never thought that that particular condition and that particular term would ever be applied to them. But there's anonymous signatories to the United Nations Charter, and that's all of us. That's the global population. So we have a right to demand this. What I was going to say is, there's a concern that's frequently raised about if the U.S. isn't there, then China will maybe dominate the U.N. and it will be the same as you know, with the U.S. dominating the U.N. But the way that the American economy is managed and run is extremely different from the way that the Chinese economy is managed and run. As everyone knows, the United States has been running for the last 70 years on a military-industrial complex. That's their management system for the economy. They have boosted their economy through the Pentagon, the State Department of the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex. The technology that we're using right now, I'm on a mobile phone. I'm sure many of you are on mobile phones. The internet, all of these things, the iPhone, all of this was developed by the Pentagon. It was developed through the military. It was all developed for military purposes. That means that the United States, for the last 70 years, 75 years, for the entirety of the existence of the United Nations, the United States has relied its economy upon the perpetuation of conflicts around the world. They've relied on that for their domestic economy. And they've used the United Nations as an instrument and as a tool for perpetuating conflicts rather than for securing peace and security as is called for by the UN Charter. Their economy has been managed on the basis of perpetuating conflicts around the world. The Chinese economy isn't based on that. The Russian economy isn't based on that. No one else's economy is based on that. So it's conceivable that if the U.S. is expelled from the United Nations and they're isolated and they are reduced in their ability to perpetuate conflicts around the world, it could ultimately, in the long term, affect the U.S. economy. But I think that's something that's going to happen anyway.